Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue.
Yeah, I'm Ray. And boy, they're digging the jazz. It's good stuff. Playing the music.
We were waiting for the taping of the media project to finish, thinking that both two of our guests, well, not guests, but Alan Chartok.
Yeah, yeah.
More than a guest.
His eminence.
running the place, right. Yeah. And Judy Patrick would be in.
Well, Judy's here. Great.
Yeah, Judy is here. And we gave you as much news copy as we possibly could.
Yeah, it was a long newscast.
Starting to run out.
Right.
And then... We ran a promo and a couple of things, and so now it's just us.
You know, the fund drive is coming up.
That's right. What if I wanted to give money to the Lockbox?
That's a great idea, because you know what happens? If you give money to the Lockbox now at WAMC.org, it all counts on day one of the drive. Now, some people like the drive to go on and on.
Yes. We are in what camp, right?
We'd like it to be over
as soon as possible.
Right, on day one.
Because we enjoy our jobs and we want to get back to doing them.
Exactly. And so if you give now at WAMC.org,
right.
The Lockbox gets full, we end the fund drive early.
It's very easy. It is a total win-win situation.
Yeah.
So WAMC.org/, WAMC.org to find out. We're going to take a break. We'll get everybody settled
in.
And when we come back, we'll get started and we'll be on our regular schedule. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Hudson Valley Goldsmith, specializing in custom-designed fine jewelry and repairs created live in an open studio in downtown New Paltz, also featuring the work of more than 10 fine jewelry artists from across the U.S. HudsonValleyGoldsmith.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, announcing opening night reception for Nicholas Krushnick, Electric Soup and Realms of Earth and Sky, February 7th at 6:30 p.m. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for indoor fragrance and color, cyclamen, orchids, primrose, cactus, herbs, and information on how to care for them. WardsNursery.com.
Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. It's the 15th of January, and it's very nice to have you with us. Allow me to introduce our panel to you. We teased who was coming in, but we'll actually make it official here now. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here, fresh from a taping of the Media Project,
along with my pal Judy Patrick, the editor of the Schenectady,
Daily Gazette of Schenectady,
the Independent Schenectady. Whatever.
Hey, thank you, Judy. Judy is the editor of the Daily Gazette of Schenectady.
Didn't I say? What did I say?
Schenectady Gazette, which is a name that goes back many years, but yeah. We're proud to be from Schenectady.
But you're the Independent Gazette.
We are definitely independent.
Gotcha.
Family-owned.
And you cover regions far more than just Schenectady,
right,
and that's the point.
Absolutely.
Great point.
And it's a very important and well-respected paper.
And in no small part due to the woman to my left.
Who we all adore.
Yeah. That's right.
You're very kind.
Now, let me introduce, this is going to be somewhat anticlimactic. Ray Graff's with us.
Oh, nice to be here.
What newspaper do you run, Ray?
I've been here for hours.
I only meant that in that I couldn't say, like, you were running the paper.
Far from it.
Very nice to have you here.
Joe, if you don't mind, I'd just like to mention that I feel naked. Now, that's scary, isn't it?
Boy, you tell you what.
Because I don't have my...
Think of a calendar with that
isn't
on.
Isn't this broadcast online?
It is.
Yeah.
For those of you scrambling to run away from your computers, he actually has clothes on.
I don't have my device with me. But I heard on NPR the other day that there is now a new theory by a major psychologist, I believe, that because we are always, and oh, the three of you are, looking at our handheld devices,
yes,
that we don't have enough time to think about things, so that we don't, and this is ruining us. So, you know, when you don't have a thing in front of you and you're bored, theoretically, your mind starts to work and to get activated. And so I don't have mine in front of me now. Do you see? Don't you see?
Yeah. So you're turning over a new leaf?
Well, no. I mean, this is only because I forgot.
No, it's a mistake.
I never bring mine.
Well, what do you think?
I just tweeted a picture. No, it's the first day. I usually just bring paper. Uh-huh. That's why my mind is so sharp.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
And I know that all too well.
So one of the way this usually works is that we talk about stories and then you comment and then Alan reads those comments on his device. But since he doesn't have his device and we're talking about that, we're not talking about a topic. So you probably won't be commenting. So.
No. Hell, you're not even listening.
But I was thinking that if I concentrate hard enough, I'll get all of your letters through my dental, devices.
All right. Let's.
Can we just start again?
Yes, we can. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable Panel. I'm Joe Donahue, Alan Chartek, Ray Graff, Judy Patrick. Let's talk about the topics of the day, and then we'll go to a news break. Alan will get his device, and all will be right with the world. We'll be back on our access. Okay, so immigration policy. I guess in the who was surprised to hear this news, but the House voted on Wednesday to gut major provisions of President Obama's immigration policy, approving legislation that would revoke legal protections for millions of unauthorized immigrants, including children, and put them at risk of deportation. The vote drew condemnation from Democrats and the White House and led more than two dozen Republicans, many worried about the perception that the party is hostile to immigrants, to break away and vote no. Alan Charta.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's a stupid move on the part of the Republicans.
Here's I'm most interested in the Republicans that broke away.
Well, yeah, because they come from competitive districts where districts where there are a large number of Hispanics. And we know that people get very offended by this because they think that this is aimed at them. So I think it's a dumb move because in 2 years, you're going to have a presidential election. And the whole question in presidential elections is turnout. Who comes out to vote? And I know that the Republicans have been looking for ways to ameliorate the fact that so many Hispanics really have them in their sights right now. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, political sights. I think that this is just asking for it for them. In off-year elections, not everybody comes out to vote. But in presidential elections, they do. So this is a dumb move.
When you think about the, and I guess I mentioned this in my setup to the piece, though it's not overly surprising. We knew that when the president came up with this and decided to forge his own path, that this was going to be greeted with this type of reaction.
Look, when Andrew Cuomo did the right thing, and got the gun bill passed in the middle of the night, using every political and tricky device he could find, including the so-called message of necessity, in which you don't have to let the bills age out for a couple of days. You just do it overnight because it's so important. The issue stopped being that because they couldn't make the case. So it started being not the gun stuff so much as the way he did it. There's always a way of doing that. The first thing they did, they thought they were being clever. The first thing they did was to do this. They're going to go after the and in that case, what was it that they were so angry about? It was that, he had exceeded his authority, not what he had done substantively, but that he exceeded his authority in making this happen.
And timing was crucial on that one, too.
Yeah.
They did it between right after the election. And in immigration reform, you're seeing it now, too. There's a little lull in the politicking, perhaps, and there might be some real progress here.
Well, I think the timing is definitely what infuriates the Republicans, and clearly a suicidal move if they're going to hold up Homeland Security funding at this particular time with what in particular is going on in France. It's not going to help their standing at all. But clearly, They're not pleased because the president, the day after the election, said, "I'm eager to work with Congress on a new immigration plan." And within a week,
he did it
executive action. So he didn't work with the new Congress, which is just installed. So I think this is the crux of the matter.
Well, Raymond, don't you think the reason he didn't work with them is because that they had not expressed immediate positive a reception to his idea? Look,
it's hardly working with them.
Well, no, working with them is a single phone call. Working with them is Boehner calling the president and saying, "Yeah, you know, Mr. President, I think we could do something here. Here's what we have in mind."
So it's Boehner's fault.
Well, sure.
That he didn't do what he said and work with the Congress on something, and just before they even came in, just went ahead and did it.
I never knew you that incisive.
I see. I understand now, Professor.
I like you with a device, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'm just listening along now.
Excellent. We welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. While we're on this topic of the president, and we'll just switch slightly, if you will, and that is to the approval rating of the president. There is a new poll out from CBS News, and I did send this to you, Judy, if you want to check.
Here, you want to take a look? Here's the paper.
Just so you know. President Obama's approval rating is up 7 percentage points since October, pulling his support out from underwater, but leaving Americans still divided over the president's leadership, according to a new poll released on Wednesday. The CBS survey has the president approval rating at 46%, up from 39% when CBS last polled the question in October. That seems like a pretty good jump.
And it's going to keep going because, you know, economically, we're the talk of the world right now. Our system is working. People are going back to work in record numbers. Business is starting in record numbers. I don't know how you can deny him popularity. And Joe, these polls are all showing that the crucial point is that his popularity is increasing greatly among independent voters, people who would make the difference in an election.
So what happened from November when, if we are to believe what we saw and the spin on the election, that it was a referendum against the president, what do you believe has happened since that time to the start of calendar year 2015?
You cannot get around the facts. And the facts are economic, and the progress is economic. And, you see that there is a surge in the American economy that is not denied. We are the talk of the entire world. And how do you deny the president that? Because no matter how many times you say Obamacare, 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 people get sick of it after a while. So, all of the indices are good for the president.
And not to belabor the point, but I know, and I'm only mentioning this because you talked about it the other day, and I just think it's worth mentioning again, which is that if do you believe that if more candidates then, knowing that this train was coming down the track, in the sense the train being improved economic results and more approval for the president, that more Democratic candidates would have put their arm around the president and it would have been a much different outcome?
Well, I have always said it. I've always said that they blew it. And we know that one major candidate put his arm around the president, he won, everybody else lost. But the timing wasn't on the president's side. But I think, the lines are fairly well drawn right now. The Republicans are in control in both houses, and it's now on them to produce. And so when the president calls Boehner and says, "Hey, let's get together and pass an immigration bill," which we know, by the way, that Boehner was for in the beginning. He changed his mind when he got so much garbage, but he was for it. I'll let you guys take the lead. Come on up with something, and they won't do it.
But when he makes that call, does he say to Boehner, And I just want to remind you that my approval rating has gone up a lot. Does that make any difference at all?
He doesn't have to say it. They see it. He doesn't have to say it. They see it.
Now, is there another way of reading the numbers in the sense of looking not at the CBS poll that we mentioned earlier, but the Gallup poll, which is very similar, also has the president at 48%, but does show 47%, but does show the president with a 48% disapproval rating?
Some wags say that the Gallup poll is the best poll that a Republican can buy. I've always thought so.
Even on the CBS poll, it's 46%. I guess my point is there's different ways of reading the numbers. the numbers. You could still say there is a large section of the populace that does not approve of the job that the president is doing.
The question is, what's the trend look like?
Yeah.
And the trend is up.
It's
going to keep going up.
Ray, did you want to make a point?
No.
Did you want to say what some people are thinking?
No, I'm amazed that you can predict the future so well. Good for you.
I'm pretty good at it. And that's why, I've been trained in this, and that's why.
Yeah, it's Nostradamus. Well done.
Pretty good at it.
Can you get me the third at Belmont? Because,
No, but Ian Pickus can.
All right.
A lot of people don't know that our Ian, before he came here, the way that he made his living in Saratoga was to put out a tout sheet.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he did. And he was quite good at it. So if you want to know,
that's nice.
Ask Ian.
Yeah, did he put it out or did he sell one?
Oh.
Was he actually doing
like in
that?
Front of the gate?
I thought it was like the Saratoga, like the pink sheet guy.
Oh.
Well, maybe you're right.
Okay.
But we digress.
He'll inform us during the break. Alan will get his device and Ian will inform us during the break and we'll be back and we'll move in a couple of seconds. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Judy Patrick of the Daily Gazette all here to talk about the topics of the day. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. I'm Joe.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
It's the 17th of... No, it's the 15th of January.
Whatevs.
Yeah, whatevs. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. You can also go to WAMC.org/roundtable. And Alan has his device. I don't know. Do you have a letter or two there, Alan, or are you still bringing them up?
I'm over bringing it up, and I have a letter or two. Robert says, didn't anybody notice that all the good economic news is really due to the Republican takeover? Funny?
Yeah, I think it's funny.
At least that's what Mitch McConnell suggested with a straight face, no less. and then Tony says, oh, okay, Ray. Clearly Obama's fault for not working with Boehner in opening agenda. The president says he's open to working with the new Congress. Boehner and McConnell say we are interested in getting things done, are willing to work with the president on things that we agree on. Oh, like what, Ray? There's been nothing in capital letters that the Republicans have agreed with the president on the whole thing of his presidency. Nothing.
Okay, well, here's how...
Tony, and Tony is from Athol.
Oh, well done, then, Tony. But here's what the way the government is supposed to work, as I understand civics class, is that even if the president is of a different party than Congress, they're supposed to work together and get things done, especially when he says, I'm going to work with the Congress and get things done, and then a week later does an executive action. It doesn't really give it a chance to maybe find common ground, right, Tony? Athol?
Tony from where?
Athol.
Okay, that's good. All right. Now, Adam says, you don't need a name to ride the big airplane. That, of course, is Woody Guthrie, deportees. And that has to do with the immigration policy.
Los Angeles.
That's a different one.
Oh.
That's a different song. I believe that's
Mr. Customs Man?
I believe that's from his son. No? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Arlo, right?
That's Arlo. But you don't need a name to ride the big airplane. That's deportees by Woody.
Well, all right.
I think that's... Nora is there. And what does she say? I would like to hear more frequently about executive actions taken by Republican presidents. Republicans in Congress make it sound like as if Obama invented this tactic.
Absolutely not. It goes back almost to, 100 years, right?
Yeah. Well.
He's not the one who did the most. Let's put it that way.
Any more or are we good?
There's one more.
Okay.
I'm examining whether it should be read or not.
Okay.
The 48% disapproval, no. Can you divide that between those who think we're worse off 4 years on and racists? I don't quite get that one, but I read it as it was written.
Okay. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. And we also will take your comments at WAMC.org/roundtable. And that is interactive. You go there, WAMC.org/roundtable, and it brings you to the roundtable page. And then you'll see it'll say panel 1/15/2015. Click on that, and then you can comment away.
And can you listen to this show later on?
Oh, yes.
On your computer?
Yes, you can.
Ad nauseum.
Yes.
You can listen to it live as it's happening on the stream, and then it is podcast very shortly after it actually happens, and then you can listen back to it. In fact, we had a letter yesterday of a woman saying, you didn't discuss this issue. And I said, yes, we did. And I sent the links, and she goes, my goodness, you did discuss that issue. And I said, there you go. So that's how it comes in handy.
And by the way, there's been a lot of mail that has just come in, like the one from Judy, who says, how about the fact that the Republicans had an immigration bill for 500 and some odd days that they refused to vote on? You know, they couldn't vote on it because there are so many of their members who have Hispanics in their districts and others in their districts who wanted these bills passed. So that the best thing to do is, and by the way, when they're in the minority, they're always yelling, up or down, give us a vote.
Yeah, sure.
But when it's the other way around, no vote.
And then what about the start of the Obama presidency where he campaigned on saying, I'll get immigration done in my first year, and he had Congress and didn't? What about those days as well?
Yeah. What about those days?
Plenty of blame to go around here.
Exactly. And that's what we're here for on the roundtable panel. Blame, blame, blame. Blah, blah, blah.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
Okay.
Alan?
Yes. No, I'm astounded by how annoyed Ray is this morning.
I'm not in a good mood today. I apologize. I'm not in a good mood. I think it's your tie.
What's wrong with my tie? Beautiful
turquoise.
Beautiful bluish tie.
It's bluish. All right, let's talk about what else is making news in the world. And again, we welcome your comments at roundtable at WAMC.org. Two stories that are somewhat linked, although, you know, yes, but not really. And that is, we heard of the story of this plan attack on the Capitol. Yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And a very disturbing story, I would say. And it is a gentleman from Ohio who they found, 600 rounds of ammunition and a plan to go after the Capitol. So
the U.S. Capitol.
The U.S. Capitol. Thank you very much, Ray. And that was thwarted by officials. And now, as far as the background, there is some question as to what there is there a link to a group or not? But it still is one of those things where there's times and. You look at all of these situations and you think to yourself, okay, this is what happens when we don't have the intel that we need in time. And this seems one of those situations that we did have the intel that we needed in time.
Yeah, his father said he's, quote, a mama's boy who never left the house. Yet he did manage to get a couple of semi-automatic rifles and 600 rounds of ammunition.
Maybe mail order.
You know what? Possibly. eBay. Sure.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, as I've been thinking about this, the idea here is that there are some very disturbed people. This guy apparently was not in touch with ISIS or anybody like them, but was interested in getting in touch with them. And so you have a nation of, you know, millions and millions and millions of people, some of which are just going to be disturbed and think somehow in their head that this is the kind of thing that they should be doing, whether it's selling a missile down the street here or whether it's, doing this. And it's terrible and terrifying. And it's why we have to have a very rigorous security system, which in itself will lead to other excesses, which are not good.
According to the FBI, the plan was to carry out a terror plot that involved both bombing and shooting. So that was the plan that he was.
So the FBI clearly says public never in any danger. So is this, and I don't know the details of how they got this guy, but was this one of those sting operations or were they just monitoring him?
That's a good question.
And if so, how were they monitoring him?
They said they were monitoring through an instant message platform separate from Twitter, and they were communicating with him through Twitter, the informant was. So I wonder.
You know, you make a very good point because time after time we see that the guy in the car going to bomb the synagogue in Riverdale was an FBI guy who was never going to let him do it. but who was playing along with it until, this is another case a couple of years ago, until that moment, and then they arrest him. So what we need to know, I think, is how many times our security apparatus are basically setting this stuff up.
And you got to wonder if the life of an FBI agent nowadays is just trolling the internet looking for these strange conversations and trying to tap into them.
I mean, I guess you have to do that given the current climate. But is there a point then where you then are
entrapping
and inciting? Inciting to something that won't happen. But
right. Let us take a break. We'll come back and we will talk about other issues as well. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, and we will be back for the conclusion of our roundtable panel right after the short break.
Support comes from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, an Iyengar yoga practice. Senior teacher Bobby Clennell presents Backbends from Supported to Unsupported, Sunday, January 18th. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting the Round the Lake Challenge, providing 30 missions to explore Lake George, lglc.org. And Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to their neighbors, hudsonvalleyfresh.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Alan Shartok, Ray Graff, Judy Patrick, and we welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. We were talking about a thwarted attack on the U.S. Capitol from a man in Ohio, according to the FBI, which brings us to security and security in Washington, D.C. The Secret Service announced yesterday they're removing 4 officials from key positions as the agency continues to deal with fallout from a series of security lapses. 4 senior officials from the agency have been told they must leave their current jobs. A 5th had recently decided to retire, the agency said. That official was an assistant director for training, had once headed President Obama's detail. The Secret Service confirmed that the officials being reassigned within the agency or the department were the Assistant Director for Technology, the Assistant Director for Government and Public Affairs, the Assistant Director for the Office of Investigations, and the Assistant Director for Protective Operations. I don't know how they come up with their titles, but those all seem very important to me.
They do, and think about it for a second. We know that there have been all kinds of foul-ups in the agency, you know, prostitutes in the rooms of some of the Secret Service agents and others, and this is good enough to remove all these people from their jobs, but not to fire them, but to move them. One wonders about whatever happened to the idea that you fire. Now, is it that these people know too much? You know, that it'd be very difficult to take somebody who might go out and write a book.
Or
leak this stuff, yeah.
If you notice, they're all assistant directors. Not one director took a fall here. Is that playing into it? Saying, the director may have been ultimately culpable here, but we'll just reassign you.
Yeah, but isn't that all the more to Alan's point, though? Like, if you could get rid of somebody and clean house, then that would be a better sign than just we're going to reassign
but
you.
But why just assistant directors?
Well,
when the directors stops at their desk.
Yes, but I don't know what that means. You have a director, maybe the director's the head guy, and everybody else is like the vice president. You know what I mean? Are you following me?
Yeah.
So I don't exactly know I don't have an organization chart here.
Here is what the James Clancy's comments. He was named acting director in a statement. He said the leadership changes were based on the results of an independent review as well as his own assessments. He said, quote, change is necessary to gain a fresh perspective on how we conduct business. I am certain any of our senior executives will be productive and valued assets either in other positions at the Secret Service or the department.
You know, this is such a sad chapter in an agency that has always had a sterling reputation. Yeah. I mean, growing up, we always thought that was the one agency. They had strict rules, and those people were all above board, and nothing went wrong. But it has been a real bad rap on that, on the Secret Service agency for the last couple of years. And the issue is whether or not they're going to do enough now to restore public confidence.
And nothing could be more important in terms of protecting this president, whose enemies have basically tried to set it up that he's a terrible man, he's awful, and has excited some of the fringe. So you really can't let a guy run into the White House, you know, unapprehended. I mean, it's crazy. I worried about Obama's protection from the very first moment he was elected, really.
You look at there was, of course, the running onto the lawn mm-hmm. into the White House incident. There was the concern when the president visited the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and an armed guard got onto the elevator. And he did not have security clearance, and nobody questioned as to why the armed man was on the elevator with the president. Which you think if anybody could get a private elevator, it'd be the president, wouldn't you?
Here's a mean letter, Joe.
Interrupt this discussion for a mean letter.
We've dealt with it before, but I want to deal with it again once and for all. Why people are so unkind that they always are able to attribute to you bad motivation. And here's the letter. Where's Rosemary? Are you going to allow her to come back at some point, Lisa? Well, Rosemary comes and goes, as you all know, at her own volition. And we are always waiting for her. In fact, we were waiting for her today. Ray wasn't supposed to be on this morning.
No, we were waiting for her tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
I see. Yeah. I thought we were waiting for her.
I think, she's supposed to reemerge tomorrow.
Yes, but what is the expectation? What is this meanness?
Well, maybe it's just a joke. Well,
No. But why are you going to allow her? You think that's a joke?
I think it's tongue-in-cheek. Oh. I think Lisa's just...
I think she likes Rosemary. I think she's a Rosemary fan and is looking forward to her back on
the
show.
Well, so am I. But you may remember why she's here. Because we asked her to be here in the first place, and we love her.
We allowed her to be here.
Nice. Now you're making it worse.
No.
You know, she probably just thinks I'm a poor substitute for Rosemary.
You know what, Judy? No.
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 No. No. No.
Just kidding.
But I will, well.
You will what?
No, I agree with you in the sense that there does often seem to be, it was much like some of the letters we got yesterday about things of accusing you of us as a group, of not covering certain issues. And then when you say, oh, but we did cover those issues, and they say, oh, well, I was in Washington, D.C.
Or think, the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, then why are you yelling at us?
You guys are so sensitive. We work in radio. Deal with it. Yeah. Come on. The little bad email here and there. Let's move on.
You make a point.
Are you talking to Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Didn't Obama have a Secret Service problem? somebody crashed a party at the White House.
Yes, well, that was the first.
The couple.
Yeah, the couple. That was the first thing. And then as Alan mentioned, that when they were supposed to be watching and protecting the president, there was some, you know, stuff going on.
And Nelson Mandela's funeral?
Yeah.
There was
the interpreter.
Yeah. The interpreter.
Right. So there
that was unbelievable.
There have been.
Well, he had a guy who was signing. Is that right? There was, and it turned out that he was nobody
not
knew who he was.
Not authorized to be there.
No.
Yeah.
And not really good at signing.
No.
Creative.
If you
yes.
knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
If you
knew,
there's that issue as well. So let's talk about the Academy Awards. 1 hour ago, the Academy. Of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, is that what they are? Came out with the Academy Award nominations. They were listed. Let's just talk about Best Picture for a moment. Birdman nominated, Boyhood, Selma, The Theory of Everything, The Imitation Game, The Grand Budapest Hotel, American Sniper, and Whiplash.
That's a lot of pictures, isn't it?
Yes. They.
I think they can do up to 10.
They can do up to 10. They chose 8. I think the two that surprised me of not being included in the list were Foxcatcher and Unbroken. Mm-hmm. Actually, Unbroken, I think was kind of widely snubbed in the.
Why do you think that is?
Remind everybody who may not have seen it what Unbroken was about.
Well, you remember, you read the book, I believe, Alan, yeah. The Louis Zeffirini book. Laura Hillenbrand, who of course wrote Seabiscuit, wrote this book. about the World War II soldier who was a gold-winning Olympic athlete. And then went into World War II. Was a Air Force pilot. Was shot down for 48 days. Was in the ocean. Survived that. Was found by the Japanese and put into a camp until the end of the war. And it was quite a riveting story. Yeah, and it was Angelina Jolie directed the film. So, and that was thought to be. Also, the star of the film Selma and the director of the film Selma were not nominated, which is really surprising to me, both considering that the movie is up for Best Oscar and also that the film and especially the performance of the actor playing Martin Luther King was just extraordinary.
Well, you don't know an awful lot about this kind of thing, Joe, which I don't. What do you think was going on there?
I don't know. I know that there is a history in the Academy of there is always a moment where I think the big one was many years ago where Steven Spielberg was not nominated for The Color Purple. So the film was up, but the director was not. And I think that's one of those things that happens every once in a while. And they say, well, how could you not nominate the director of the film when, you know, the film was
exactly
up?
Exactly. You know. So isn't this sort of personality driven too, that the Academy likes some people more than others?
I think so. And I also think it's that people, perhaps they feel that this particular person has gotten their due and this particular person has not gotten their due.
Well, that's also absurd. I mean, if you think about it, that's just plain absurd because either the film is good or the film is bad.
I agree with you.
And the idea that you know, John Wayne never got one, so we're going to give him one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is that you make up for it, hopefully, in some of these humanitarian awards and
lifetime achievement.
Lifetime achievement. That's
the
absolutely Thalberg
great. Award.
So it's it is, but it's interesting to look at. I think usually they sort of get it right, you know, as far as what should be nominated and what shouldn't. But there's always these things where you say, "Oh, who got snubbed and why was this film?" And the one that actually was surprising, because most critics didn't even include American Sniper on their list because they thought it was released too late. It was the Chris Kyle story of the man who was the American Sniper, saw three tours of duty, was considered to be the best sniper that this country had, and tragically lost his life on a came back from war. And tragically lost his life in an accident with a I want to say deranged fellow on a shooting range. So
okay, so spoiler alert for those who haven't gone to that.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a national news story.
It was Joe. You're okay. But also, I don't go to movies like that.
You don't see those kind of films.
I don't go to movies, which end badly.
You know who won for Best Picture last year?
12 Years a Slave.
Wow. See, I had forgotten that.
Yeah,
which is also the possibility that the Academy looks for worthy political statements that they can make. Yes.
Well, and I think you can look at the case of of certainly The Imitation Game having to do with Alan Turing and being homosexual and persecuted after his great work during the war. That film, of course, also Selma, of looking for films that have a meaning and a political bent to them. I think you could certainly, even American Sniper.
Can you tell us about the Academy? Like, who's in it? How do you get in?
There is an overall. We only have about a minute, but there is the overall Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. From my understanding, for the actual voting of this, that if you are a member of the Academy, if you're a film, if you're a choreographer
a
cinematographer, yeah. If you're a cinematographer,
okay. Right,
you can vote for the cinematography
or not the nominations
for the nominations, right. And then you can vote for film.
So these are working professionals in
within
and
the
around.
Industry, okay. Or and also former winners.
Okay.
Of that,
how many are there?
Group. I don't know. I don't know that information.
But a lot
is made
of people.
Public.
But a lot of people get ballots. I remember when Marge Champion, our great friend, used to tell me that she just got her ballot.
Yes.
So she's been around for a long time. And
was there a nomination ever?
For what?
Well, I don't know. If there was ever like a nomination or a film that they were a part of that was nominated, then often that is how they get into that pool. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question. I just know she gets one.
Well, that's cool. So maybe we can like tell her who we want her to vote for.
Yeah, she could be our sort of representative.
That's right.
The Electoral College.
Which, by the way, I think is illegal, but still. All right. We want to thank everybody for being with us. And we're going to do a live panel tomorrow. We're going to be over at the Linda a live panel. So that'll be
what
fun.
What is this, Cajun?
It's not open to the public, but it's going to be in front of an audience. That'll be fun.
So what is this, a dead panel as opposed to a live panel?
Well, I mean, what's the occasion?
Live in front of an audience. The Albany Chamber of Commerce is having a leadership event, and we're going to be doing the panel in front of that group.
Well,
so
good
you'll,
luck,
you'll
guys.
Hear applause
That's
tomorrow.
Great.
Isn't that nice? And what is there not to applaud, right? You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.